Hello and welcome to the MB Om podcast, where you will learn to master the business of yoga with guests from around the world who have experienced becoming successful yoga teachers, studio owners, and much more. Now, here's your host, Amanda Kingsmith.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the MB Om podcast. I'm very excited for today's episode. As always, I know that's, I say that every time, but I just really, really love the fact that I get to do this and that I get to talk to so many cool people. But I'm super excited for today's episode with Brandon Anden from the Yoga Nomads. But before we dive into that episode, a quick word from bookyogaretreats.com. Bookyogaretreats.com is sponsoring the podcast for this season, and I use bookyogaretreats.com for my very first retreat, and I just loved it. It's such a great platform if you're looking to find a retreat, or if you're a yoga teacher who's looking to market your retreat. It's a platform that allows people to search for locations, prices, dates. And as a yoga teacher, that really allows us to get seen. People can find exactly what they're looking for, and that's what the people that you want on your retreats. So to find out more about bookyogaretreats.com, visit www.mbomyoga.com/bookyogaretreats. All right, on to today's episode. Like I mentioned, I'm talking with Anne and Brandon from the Yoga Nomads. And I had them on the podcast back in season one. We connected online. We've stayed in touch. We've watched as our businesses have slowly grown kind of in the same direction, helping yoga teachers grow their businesses. And Anne and Brandon are here today to really focus on talking about how yoga teachers can make more money, how they can become more successful with less studio classes and more stuff outside of the studio, and talking a little bit about websites, the importance of websites, and how you can create yours. So without further ado, here's Anne and Brandon. I'm very excited to be joined on the podcast today by Brandon and Anne from the Yoga Nomads. Welcome back to the show, guys.
Thanks, Amanda.
Appreciate it.
Love being here.
And the last time we chatted, you guys were joining me from Costa Rica, and this time around, you're in your home city of Minneapolis. Is that right?
That's right.
And so I think we talked over a year ago now, which is crazy. It feels like I've known you guys for ages, even though we've never actually met in person and we've only known each other for a short period of time. But can you catch me up a little bit on what has happened with the Yoga Nomads over the last year and a bit?
Yeah, for sure. So let's see. I think we spoke right when we were starting to create our online course. So we were kind of at a crossroads with our business. We weren't sure, are we going to stay being a blog helping yogis travel, or are we going to kind of shift into the business of yoga, which is where we're at now. And since we last spoke, we 100% made that transition. So now we're only focused on helping yoga teachers and wellness entrepreneurs build their business. Yeah, that's kind of our shift. So we do a combination of one-on-one work and also creating learning modules so yoga teachers can learn on their own term.
That's awesome. And what inspired like the shift, or I guess a better business term for it would be finding like your niche?
Yeah, that's a good question. So if we rewind back time to a few years ago in 2013, when we decided to make the transition from corporate America to traveling entrepreneurs, traveling yoga teachers, we initially had the thought of traveling to South America while teaching yoga at hostels in exchange for free accommodation. Well, then the light bulb went off like, wait, hostels are actually pretty cheap, so it's not really that good of a deal.
Yeah, worth more than $8 an hour.
Yeah, exactly. So eventually, as we began traveling and teaching yoga and actually living that lifestyle, we realized we really enjoyed it and we were learning so much. And we were one of the only ones doing that then in 2014 when we actually started our trip. And so we really made a mark in the marketplace. Like it started to feel good, and we gained some momentum because that was becoming a trend, traveling yoga or teaching yoga and traveling the world. So at that point, we started building all these skills for online entrepreneurship that included content marketing, email marketing. And then we combined that with the skills that we took from the corporate world. We were both in marketing, sales, entrepreneurship type roles, and started to earn, you know, some decent income from the blog by combining all those skills and putting that into motion, I guess.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
So then we started helping our yoga friends create websites. We started teaching them online marketing, all these things kind of for free. And we were like, wait, this is really working. And a lot of people seem to need this. So we started researching a ton about just what successful yoga teachers do and how they can make it. And at that point, we discovered what Brandon calls the secret sauce of successful yoga teachers. And really what that is a combination of three things. So every successful yoga teacher that we've come across, they each have a website. They each focus outside of the studio for more revenue streams. Think about like workshops, retreats, trainings, etc. And the third thing being they never stop learning. So they're gathering information from all other ways that they best learn, whether that's reading, attending trainings from other people, listening to podcasts, just being a sponge. So then we realized at that point, we're like, okay, the light bulb really went off. Our strength is in the combination of taking what we've learned through our path to yoga, through yoga and living yoga, in addition to business, and just putting that together. And that's when we were like, okay, this is starting to make sense. We're bridging the gap between business and yoga, because a lot of yoga teachers don't really understand the business side. And yet a lot of business people don't necessarily understand the mindset of a yoga teacher.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I feel like that was kind of my experience when I entered the yoga world. And the reason why I created the podcast, I was like, I feel like there's no like business etiquette or knowledge or anything. Like people just don't know how to be like successful, both like financially and just like growing their careers.
Exactly. I love it. We definitely love what you're about. And you see it more frequently in the marketplace today as more and more people are practicing yoga and getting certified to teach and having these kind of mental shifts in their mind after they experience training and realize maybe there's more out there than just sitting behind a desk all day. Like, how do I really bring this passion of mine into the world, but actually make a living doing it? So yeah, it's kind of fun seeing all the different people that are getting involved and helping that become a reality.
Yeah, definitely. It's really interesting seeing, like, watching yoga teachers in studios who just, like, don't understand it. And I love when I can, like, shed some light on that. I'm sure you guys feel the same way. When you're like, oh, have you thought about doing this or creating a website or getting online?
Yeah, and their ears kind of light up, or their eyes light up and, yeah, get excited about it.
And it really seems that just the foundation, just the basic business and marketing skills are what's needed across the board. For whatever reason, yoga teachers believe that all they have to do is show up to the studio, teach a few classes, 10, 12 classes a week, and life is going to be good. But the math just doesn't work out like that. And, you know, it's partially because they were told that from their one specific business of yoga lecture, or maybe it's because the studio economics just don't allow to pay teachers enough. But we're finding more and more yoga teachers just sort of shy about the fact that the income's not what they like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's something that is really, like, you can look at the life of a yoga teacher and feel like it's really awesome. Like, I mean, that's how I felt when I went to yoga classes. I was like, wow, I would love to teach this. And then I started teaching and I was like, man, I just worked my ass off for like $35, and I took like an hour to prep, especially when I was newer. It took ages to prep, and it took, you know, so much of my time and energy. And then you walk away and you're kind of like, oh, like, it's so rewarding on the one hand, but then on the other hand, you're like, oh, that was like $7 an hour.
Yep. I actually need to eat dinner tonight.
Yeah. Like, one class is like, okay, now my friends want to go for a meal after, and I can like barely afford that.
Right.
And so you broke down those three different, you know, I guess that, what did you call it? The magic sauce?
Yeah. The secret sauce of successful yoga teachers.
I love it. Can you dig into that a little bit more and tell me a bit more about each of those different steps?
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. So just to recap, and then we'll go in a little bit deeper. Successful yoga teachers, from what we've observed, do three things. They have a website, they have multiple streams of revenue outside the studio, and they never stop learning. Okay, so those are the three. The first one being a website. And if, you know, if yoga teachers just had to go to the studio, teach a few classes, and that was enough, then you really wouldn't need a website. But the reality is you cannot rely on the studio. So it's time to sort of act like an entrepreneur, take things into your own hands, start creating yourself. And that's where the website comes in. And we view that as kind of a your business home base. So everything you do business-wise, yoga-wise, it all flows in and out of your website. It's sort of your brand, it's your resume, it's your networking, you know, it's your business card, and it's also your marketing machine all sort of combined. So I'll just maybe list a few reasons why a website can help a yoga teacher. And the first one is, and most importantly, kind of what we're talking about is it helps increase your income. And we see that in two ways. The first way is sort of your passive income, and that's, you know, kind of witchcraft for yoga teachers. It's a website makes money. How does that do that? That's crazy. So that's one way, you know, your website can earn an income from ads or from sponsorships or from being a virtual studio, etc. And another way your website helps increase your income is it helps market your offline offerings, your premium offerings. And this is where we talk about workshops, trainings, privates. A couple other benefits of having a website. One quick one is it will help you find more and better teaching gigs because your website's essentially a credibility booster. It shows that you're taking things serious. And it also shows that the yoga studio that you're applying to that you bring your own marketing tool, your own marketing vehicle, which means you're going to be able to attract new students to that studio, which makes you stand out amongst your peers. A couple other ones, you'll be able to attract more students. And this is because you start spreading out your message for your ideal clients. And your ideal clients can actually find you through the content that you produce. So attracting more students, and once they land on your page, you're able to build a deeper relationship with your students. And this is mainly through both creating content on your site, but also through your email list. So your website, as it works kind of as the home base, it also connects to your email list, which is where you'll continually send information to your students, and also that's where you do your selling. So whenever you launch a premium product service, you can offer that through your email list. We could go all day on why your website's important, but those are a few that come to mind. What else on the secret sauce? Focusing outside the studio. This one's really important. And if we take a page out of what wealthy people do, wealthy people have multiple streams of revenue. So not that yoga teachers necessarily want to be millionaires, but it's a very good strategy to diversify your revenue. So instead of just getting paid from the studio from group classes, it's important to add a couple more streams of revenue. And the common ones as a yoga teacher are packaging up what you know, what you're good at, and offering that, let's just say, outside the studio. So this could be a group class outside the studio where you rent your own space, or this could be a workshop in a studio where instead of $10, $20 drop-ins, you charge $30 for a workshop. And since you rented that space, you take the lion's share of that revenue. This could be one-on-one coaching. I think yoga teachers have oftentimes they have skills that are not directly related to yoga that they could offer their yoga clients. This could be life coaching. This could be nutrition. This could be anything in the wellness space, even essential oils, things like that. So having multiple streams of revenue, absolutely crucial. And the last one here in the secret sauce is never stop learning. And we don't need to go too deep in this. I think it's pretty straightforward, but it stems from the fact that yoga teachers are entrepreneurs. And we are forced to wear many hats and do many different jobs, whether we like it or not. So in order to build a strong business that supports your life, you need to learn from all these different categories. So as a yoga teacher, I know we'd all love to just spend our days in the studio, but sometimes we have to stare at a computer all day, or sometimes we need to record a podcast and do some marketing, or you know, they'll do some design work, whatever it is. We have a lot of things we need to learn. So just putting on that learning hat and digging into new skills is something that's going to pay you back tenfold in your business.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. I actually posted on Instagram yesterday a photo of me just like at my computer, and it's a posed photo, of course, but I was like, this is what I actually look like. Like all my photos on Instagram are me doing yoga, and I'm like, that's not really my life.
For sure.
My life is like at my computer with like a sprinkle of yoga.
Exactly. To keep us sane.
Unfortunately, we're the same.
Yeah, definitely. I wish that it was like I could just get paid to do yoga outside, but unfortunately, that's not the reality of life for most people.
Yeah.
But I love all of that. That's such a great secret sauce. I feel like so much of that, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. People need to be doing that. And I don't, have you guys read the book, Born for This by Chris Guillebeau?
No, I haven't.
Okay. No, I really like Chris and I followed a lot of his career, but I have not read that.
Yeah, he's awesome. It's his book that he launched last year, and we went and saw him speak when we were down in Atlanta, and then I finally got to reading the book, and it's just so much of it I'm just relating to. But I was just reading a chapter last night where he's talking about how everyone should have multiple revenue streams. He's so big on like, have a side hustle, have a side project, have a side gig, like do something else that brings money in, even if you make enough money to survive with your full-time job. And I feel like that relates so directly to what you're talking about with yoga. It's like, if your studio closes or that yoga studio owner decides that, you know, you're not the right fit, or you know, they don't have space for you on the schedule, and that's what you're entirely relying on. Like, all of a sudden, you don't have any money to eat with. That's scary.
100%. It sounds like an offensive strategy, get more forms of revenue. But it's really not an offensive strategy. It's just like how you mentioned, it's defensive. It's if you rely on one form of revenue and something happens, like you said, you lose your job at the studio, then all of a sudden, your revenue is gone completely. And how are you going to pay the bills?
Yeah, definitely. And I think too with yoga is such, I mean, the yoga industry is very, like, it's very lucrative right now, but it goes up and down. Like, some studios don't survive. Studios close and open constantly. So I feel like it's really kind of having your own back, I guess, with your career, like not putting all your eggs in one basket.
Absolutely.
And then websites. I mean, that's, that's such a big thing to talk to. And I've done an episode and a blog post on why websites are important. So I'm definitely an advocate of that. If somebody's listening and they're like, oh, I know I should get a website, but this is just like, I don't even know where to begin. Do you guys have like some tips on how to get started as somebody with no technology experience?
For sure. We deal with this all the time as well. We've taken clients on who, you know, they have no idea how to use a website. They're allergic to their computer, and, you know, just shown them a couple basic things. And all of a sudden, you know, a couple weeks, a month later, they feel really empowered. They're like, wow, I didn't know it was this hard. And, you know, here's a couple things. First one is, it's not that hard anymore. You know, if you go back 10, 20 years, yeah, only tech nerds could create websites then. But the reality is, with tools like WordPress, Squarespace, all the other ones, it's become pretty easy. But just because it's easy doesn't mean you're going to figure it out in 2 hours. You know, you got to put your head down, commit to learning a new skill. And just like any new skill, it comes with some frustrations. But know that yoga teachers can do this. They're doing this all the time. And, you know, just put your head down and get it done. Yeah, I think that's number one right off the bat. Just it can be done.
And I think one thing to add to that is there are so many resources out there that you can pay for or that you can just find for free to get you started. I mean, one big resource we use that everybody probably uses on a weekly basis is YouTube. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't tell you how many countless hours Brandon probably had his head down watching quick YouTube videos, tutorials on how to do this, how to do that, so that we can learn ourselves, so that we can be the teacher eventually. We had no idea eventually we'd be teaching this, but, you know, it's become so accessible. So I think it's building up the courage and realizing that you can do it and pushing over that hump and then launching into actually building it yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how different it is from years and years ago. I mean, that's like pre when I had a website, maybe you guys as well. But I always tell people, like, if I can do it, you can do it too. And I feel like people don't really believe me, but I've been helping a yoga teacher friend make her website, and it's actually so simple. Like, to go on Bluehost to buy a domain name, you literally like click the WordPress button. It transfers you over. You have a login already, and then you're on the back end. And all you have to do is pick a theme. And I mean, most of the themes that are like really, really nice maybe cost like $60, but you can get like pretty nice ones for free.
Like, definitely.
And that's like, I think her domain cost $90 for 2 years. That's less than $50 a year if we chose a free theme. Like, that's insane that you could do that for that much.
Right.
That's nothing.
And that right there debunks the myth about, oh, I can't afford to get a website. I mean, sure, you could easily spend $10,000 on a website, but you don't have to. And honestly, you just shouldn't right when you're starting out. Like, you just don't need to.
It's also, too, like, you go on the back end of some websites and it's like, I don't know. I was on the back end of one website. They're like, oh, you know how do you do websites? And it was for a yoga studio that I worked for. And I was like, I don't understand anything that's happening back here. Like, this is like WordPress on steroids. Like, why is this so complicated? We don't need any of this stuff.
That's another thing we recommend is definitely just use WordPress. All the yoga businesses use WordPress at a certain point. So maybe you think Squarespace, PageCloud, whatever other ones are easier in the beginning, but at the end of the day, you're going to switch to WordPress, and WordPress isn't that hard. So why not just start with WordPress?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that all the themes too that I've been involved with usually have like manuals that you can kind of follow. Like, maybe manual is the wrong word, but like StudioPress, for example, has great sets of themes, and they'll walk you through how to set up your widgets and how to set up, you know, your title page and your home page, and like, they have instructions for all of that. And I mean, if they don't have that, YouTube is right there, like you said. So I feel like it is kind of one of those things that's almost like there's not that many excuses for not doing it anymore.
Right.
For sure.
You got it.
And another thing we've noticed that holds people back is they look, let's use you as an example. They see your website, MBOM Yoga, and they're like, wow, it's beautiful. I don't think I could create that. But if we rewind to the very first iteration of MBOM or the very first iteration of the Yoga Nomads, they did not look like what they look like now.
No.
This website is going to be potentially hideous, but you know, you have to release it and get some feedback. A couple months later, you tweak it, you upgrade it, and all of a sudden it looks good. You learn new skills, and you're not really sure how it went from your first version to today. I'm sorry, other people don't see how the transition goes. But just getting it out there is the first step, needs to happen.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't agree more with that. And it's one of those things, too, where I feel like, you know, you think your website, like, you're really in love with it for a while, and then you look at it one day and you're like, no, it's stale, it's old, it needs an upgrade. I know that's what happened to me. I'm sure you guys as well have experienced that. So it's like, you're just going to go through that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so if somebody's still listening and they're like, okay, that sounds great. Like, I still don't know. Like, I can afford $50 a year, you know, $100 a year for this, but I still don't know. I don't have time. Like, what do you guys say to that kind of like pushback? Like, somebody who's really resistant to building a website for themselves?
I would say, first off, and this is kind of challenging that person, but can you afford not to? You know, look at your life right now. Do the math. Are you making enough money? Is this sustainable? Can you raise a family this way? Can you support your goals as at your current pace? And if you feel confident in the direction of your life without a website, then maybe don't. But if you want to increase your income or take back some free time, build more freedom into your life, any number of things, then I think a website is a mandatory foundational aspect to your business. So I would say commit to 3 months of hard work, getting your website to a certain point, learning the skills, going through the process, potentially struggling from time to time. And after that 3 months or maybe 6 month mark, I would say you learned enough and you can start hiring someone to do some of the technical things for you. So maybe view it as a short-term experiment, and after you get to a certain point of understanding, you can hire out those skills. So it's not forever, but you do need to invest some time up front.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. I think that that's so true. It's a good thing for people to think about. Like, you know, if people can't find you online, you can't really go beyond, you know, your town or your city or your current studio. like people can't find you.
Exactly right.
And so you guys have recently launched a new element to the Yoga Nomads, which is it's Build Beautiful Yoga Websites, right?
Yes, right. Create Beautiful Yoga Websites.
Sorry. can you guys tell me a little bit about that?
For sure. So it's actually on a separate domain. So we have theyoganomads.com and we also have createbeautifulyogawebsites.com. And it's essentially a video module tutorial, step-by-step process for yoga teachers to identify their niche, build a website in WordPress, and then we teach the basics of using that website in a way that will help grow your business. And that ranges from social media to email marketing to setting up a sales page and everything, just kind of the basics that you need to get started in this world. And it's more or less what we were coaching or consulting our one-on-one clients on, which would cost maybe $2,000 to $3,000. We'd work together over a few months. And what we found out is that we could only service about 6 to 8 clients at any given time. Mm-hmm. And we had way more yoga teachers asking for help. So instead of only working with 6 to 8 at a time, we recorded everything that we do one-on-one and created that into a learning module. So now we can service hundreds and hundreds of yoga teachers and they learn on their own time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I love that. I think that that's, you know, such a great way to do that. I think I was listening to a podcast interview with Marie Forleo from B School on Being Boss. I don't know. Do you guys listen to Being Boss?
No, I haven't yet, but a lot of people have suggested it to me.
Okay. You have to listen to Being Boss. It's great. Awesome. It's like the podcast for creative entrepreneurs.
Cool.
But they talked to Marie Forleo and she kind of talked about that's like how B School came to be. Like she was doing one-on-one coaching and she's like, this isn't sustainable. I'm talking to clients all day long. And like the money's good. It's not about the money, but it's just about, I can't take anyone else on and there's still interest. And so she created, you know, this massive, massive course that's been like highly successful. So I think it's really cool that you guys thought about that to create that product.
Absolutely. And one thing we're noticing, I'm sure you've seen this too, is that there are tons of business of yoga websites popping up now. And there's several other courses helping yoga teachers build websites or branding or digital marketing. And I think that's a really great thing, right? The entrepreneurship community responds to this need from the yoga teachers. And it's so cool to see.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was when I kind of first came up with the idea for MBOM, I was kind of like, you know, poking around online and on iTunes specifically, like looking at other podcasts. And I felt like there wasn't really anything like that there. And now I feel like it's like, I don't know, at least once a month, but I think more than that, it's like somebody pops up on my Instagram or on my Facebook or, you know, sends me an email. It's like, hey, I do this too. And I'm like, wow, there's like so many of us that are focusing on the business of yoga now. And I think it's amazing that people are, you know, trying to bridge the gap all over the world, because the reality is that like, I can't do it all. You guys can't do it all. And it's cool that everyone has kind of a different offer and focus to help yoga teachers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And one thing just popped into my head here, and that now that yoga has become pretty popular in westernized countries and around the world, what we're seeing is business first people, which Ann and I started in the business world, then kind of got seduced into the yoga world, but we still have all these business skills. And I'm assuming a lot of these other people who are popping up come from the same background. And it almost feels like it's our duty because, you know, we have the business skills, but we're deep in the yoga world and there's not that many people who have both of those skills, you know, so it kind of feels like our duty to support the yoga community in that way.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you've got this experience in corporate America. It's like, you know, why not share those things that you've learned? Because, I mean, so much of it translates industry to industry. And I feel like there's so much of it that you can take from your corporate experience and relate it directly to helping yoga teachers who have never worked in that industry. And I think that's so much of, you know, people come into the yoga industry with no background in this and they just don't know what to do.
Right.
Absolutely right. And that I'm going to just shamelessly plug part of our course based on what you just said there. And that we know that so many yoga teachers are allergic to their computers, technology, it's scary, etc. So we actually created 10 page templates. So we use a theme called Divi, a WordPress theme called Divi. And we actually designed pages, homepage about teaching schedule, etc. And there are these beautiful templates that all you do is upload them to your website, and then you can rearrange things, change color, picture, font, etc. So an absolute beginner can get their website up in 3 days.
That's amazing. That's really cool that you guys did that.
Yeah, and I don't think that message was spread. I don't think we're doing a good job spreading that message, because the people who have used these templates have had great results. Yeah,
that's awesome. Definitely tell me more about your course. Like, what else does it offer in there? How can people find it, et cetera?
Yeah, I would say we created a free gift just for you guys, the listeners of MBOM. So if you go to theyoganomads.com/MBOM, all one word, we created a free PDF that's essentially kind of the skeleton of what our course teaches, but it's just in a PDF format, do it on your own. Just step by step, like find your niche, set up WordPress, et cetera, et cetera. So for anyone who's interested, start with that. Start with the free PDF. If it feels like something you want to do, we're going to be releasing a free video training very soon that kind of walks you through the course as well. So we want people to get the free access first, and if they want to go deeper, they can. But just come check out the Yoga Nomads, download one of our free gifts, and you'll get some emails when the course comes out.
Okay, awesome. Thanks for that. That's great.
Absolutely.
And so digging into a little bit like on the business side of the course, I'm curious, you know, for you guys, like what was the process like actually creating this, you know, massive course that it's kind of like your signature product now, which is really cool.
Right. It was a long and slow process, to be honest. It started, let's see, about 15 months ago, or maybe even 18 months ago, and we purchased an online course that teaches us how to make online courses, which gets pretty meta pretty quick. But
yeah, I love that.
Dave Siteman Garland's course is very good. If anyone's considering a course, I recommend it. His course is like $1,000 or something, but he walks you through everything. And what we found is it shortened our learning curve. So instead of wondering how to do this, he teaches you what to do and you just follow it step by step. So we took that course, learned all the steps, and then for whatever reason took a 6-month break where we just were consulting only, and then we recorded the course in about 3 months. So 3 months of mostly recording but still making sure our business is flowing along, and then about another 2 to 3 months setting up kind of a strategy on how to market it. So I'd say it took us about 6 months of part-time work in order to get that course launched. But if anyone's considering it, it's a lot of work. You know, it's tons of upfront time. But now that we're sitting on tremendous training videos and all these different modules, we have a very good asset that we can now work on getting better at marketing and partnering with yoga studios or partnering with people like you and getting that out in the hands of yoga teachers. So if you're considering a course, no, it's a lot of work, but it's a great revenue model.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. The first time I created a course, I was like, I'm just going to do this and make a bunch of money off of it, and it's going to be super easy. And like everything in the world, it is not easy. There's so many unforeseen challenges.
Absolutely true. But what is worth doing? Or I'm sorry, nothing in life is easy. Wait, I can't talk here. Nothing in life that's worth doing is easy. There we go.
Yeah. No, that's so true. You couldn't have said that better. It's one of those things too, where I think it seems like a lot when you're trying to keep your business going too, because you need to invest all this time, like you said, upfront time into it. And you're making no money off of it at that point. So it just feels like it's like a lot of time behind the computer. It's a lot of time recording. It's a lot of editing videos. And I don't know about you guys, but that's not my thing. And then you're still trying to like keep yourself up afloat. Cause again, we need to eat every day. We need to eat.
Absolutely right. And one really positive thing that came from that extra workload is we started to systematize our business. So there's certain things that everyone will do in their business on a weekly basis, and we just created processes around that to make it more efficient. So now Anne and I and the rest of our team use Google Spreadsheets and Google Docs to create content. Here's our process. Here's our social media process, etc. So we found a way to spend less time doing the day-to-day stuff, which freed up a little bit more time to work on the bigger tasks.
Yeah. Can you share some of those things, some of those like day-to-day things? Because I think it's easy. I think it's really relatable. And I think that most people can relate to like, okay, I get super lost in doing this like daily thing that has to be done, but it doesn't really grow the business. It kind of just sustains it.
Right. I'll use content marketing for that because I think it's the place that we've evolved the most in the last year or two. And content marketing is essentially just creating content, either a blog post, video, audio, podcast, whatever it is, for your ideal client. So essentially you're solving problems or you're inspiring your ideal client. And if you just sit down to your computer and just try and write some awesome content or record a cool video, you're gonna struggle. It's gonna take time to formulate an idea and you're not gonna be very strategic. So instead we break our content down in steps. We have one spreadsheet that's blog post ideas. And there's a column for who does this target, what does this solve, and we're essentially just strategizing around our content. Then we have another section where we now that we've picked some content, now we put it in our calendar so we can look out months ahead and in August 18th, what article are we going to be publishing, and things like that. So now each week, we just go directly to the step that we need to do. Okay, the content is drafted, then it's edited, then we add in our pictures and our opt-in lead magnet type situation, then it's published, then it's marketed.
We have deadlines that we communicate with one another for each of those steps within, and then ownership. So, you know, right now I'm owning a lot of the content that's created for this site. And then that'll just be backed by Brandon. So we'll have weekly check-ins where we talk about what needs to happen this week and how it's going to get done. Hey, what do you have capacity for? Hey, I need a little bit of help here. Okay, go into the shared document or shared drive where we have all the documents that we can both, that are visible to both of us, and then, you know, set out our plan from there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Something that I really love about you guys' website is that you guys do, like, you're so consistent with producing content. It's one of those things where I go like 3 weeks out producing something and I'm like, okay, like channel your inner like Anne and Brandon and put something out there. Cause you guys are so consistent. It's awesome. And I think that that's something that people who read along, people who follow stuff, they really love that. They know, like, it's one of the things that I tell people when they want to start a podcast. I'm like, if you want to be successful with a podcast, you need to produce consistent content. It needs to come out on the same day so that people know MBOM gets downloaded in my podcast app on Mondays. The World Wanders gets into my podcast app on Thursdays. And it's something that I'm so adamant about with that, but I haven't translated so much into other content creation.
And it will. It takes time and it takes building systems around it for sure.
That's awesome. How far in advance do you guys write, like actually create your content? So like writing blog posts or creating videos that you put out?
Now that is something we don't have a system around, but we're trying to make one around. I would say ideas get tossed around for months. And then when we nail down an idea, it can take anywhere from 7 to 30 days, depending on the content. I'd say on average, it's about 10 days to create a decent post that goes out.
Right. And depends on what mode we're in. Right now, we're preparing to reopen our course again. So we're focusing all our content around a specific target of helping yoga teachers with their website. And usually it's about 2 to 3 weeks in advance. Our content is 90% done, where we have it ready to go in WordPress. We just need to tweak it, add some final messaging, and add in our lead magnet conversion type stuff. Mm-hmm. So I would say 2 to 3 weeks in advance, but I would like to be at 2 to 3 months in advance, mm-hmm. ideally.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. That's like, it's something that I've really tried to work on with the podcast, but I'll have to put in some systems for content creation on the blog.
And also, I think if you have capacity to as well, or if you're lacking capacity, it's a good recommendation is hiring an intern. You know, hiring someone you trust to write a couple of posts who's familiar with the industry. We've, you know, had a couple of interns here at the Yoga Nomads. We're still working with one. And it's really, really nice just to have that break. Totally. And then I think the benefit of that for me has been, and maybe for Brandon too, is as you're teaching, you learn so much, right? It's just like teaching yoga. As a teacher, you're really the student again. And so I think it helps even just create content, better content, just by teaching someone how to do it.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't agree more. I've gone through that process with our travel podcast, but not with MBO, but it's such a great learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to open it up to your audience because I know you have a lot of savvy yoga entrepreneurs listening. So if anyone wants to get involved with the Yoga Nomads, our mission inspires you, or maybe you just want to learn about digital marketing in the yoga world, reach out to theyoganomads@gmail.com and tell us what your skills are and what you'd like to learn, and we can maybe find a spot for you here. So as our course is growing, we're looking for people to support different aspects of our business. And we also invest a ton back into our employees and in terms of training. So if you're a budding yoga entrepreneur, shoot us a note. Let's talk.
Yeah, I love it. Awesome. Do you guys have anything else that you want to share before we finish this off?
Outside of how much we love you and support MBOM, I don't think so, Amanda.
No, if you want to create a yoga website, go to theyoganomads.com/MBOM and download the beginner's guide to creating the yoga website.
Yeah,
it's a great place to start.
We'd love to hear from all of you, so reach out.
Awesome. And you guys are the Yoga Nomads on Facebook and Instagram as well, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, cool. Go follow them along. They're great.
Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. There you go. There's the episode with Anne and Brandon from the Yoga Nomads talking about creating yoga websites, why you should have a yoga website. As always, show notes with links and resources for what we talked about are up on the website at www.mbomyoga.com. You can always reach out to Anne and Brandon if you have a question about your website. You're always welcome to reach out to me at info@mbomyoga.com. Both of us are super passionate about helping yoga teachers. So definitely use the resources that are available to you and make sure you get your guide over at theyoganomads.com/MBOM. You can follow me on social media on Facebook and Instagram at Mastering the Business of Yoga. And you can join our private Facebook community at Yoga Business Badasses. Just search it, find it in the link for this episode on the show notes, request to join, and I'll approve you. As always, thanks so much for listening and namaste.